Done Deal is our title today. Hebrews 9, 24 to 28 is our text. As we've noted here for multiple weeks now, we've been going through Hebrews from October and November. We have today, we have one more Sunday. Next Sunday we'll be in Hebrews one more time. And as we've been going through, again, the context of what we're looking at here in the book of Hebrews, it's a letter written to Jewish Christians, and in the first century, probably, you know, maybe about 30 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, and the people are kind of wrestling here with this idea of all their lives and everything they've known has been centered around temple worship and sacrifice. And do they need to continue in that? And should they go back to that? Is that necessary for them to be involved in, to be Christians, along with trusting in Jesus? And the author of Hebrews, which we don't know, again, who that is, but he points out, no, we don't need to, because Jesus is greater than all of that, greater than any other hope. And we can't add to that hope that we have by anything else to make it better. And as we go through the book, just to think about the context again, Jesus is greater, and what he does is greater. He's greater than the angels. He is God. He's greater than Moses as God's messenger. He is the Son of God. He is greater than the priests that offered sacrifices as intermediaries between the people and God, because he is a perfect priest who will never die. The tabernacle that he enters is a greater tabernacle than the earthly one that is simply made by humans. He enters into the heavenly tabernacle. And the sacrifice that he offers is greater than the sacrifices offered on the altar in front of the tabernacle, because he is offering himself. He offered himself and his blood in our place. And today, what we're going to consider, and really in many ways next week as well, they're kind of related here. And, you know, as an aside, I saw a comedian talk about how it was, his dad was a pastor, and it was much easier to be a comedian because he could just talk about whatever. Whereas his dad, and the way he portrayed it, he said his dad basically had to give the same book report every week. Well, there's a lot more than that, right? It's there's a whole bunch that we can find in God's Word. And so even as we come up to a text that's very much related next week to what we have today, we find different aspects that can encourage us. And we'll see some similarities to last week as well as we get to our text today. But today we're thinking about the implications of the sacrifice that Jesus has given. And last week, we noticed the eternal nature of this sacrifice. Eternal redemption is what he has won for us. Everything restored. And noting how if things are fixed in this world, like a healed broken bone, it's not back to as good as new, the original. But through Christ's blood in eternity, we have eternal redemption where everything will be restored. Today, leading up to our text, there's the illustration of a will, a testament, that is put into effect after someone's death. And we have that symbol of death in the shedding of blood. And the author of Hebrews points out that in the first covenant, there was a shedding of blood by the blood of animals. And that represented the death that we all have to go through. And in fact, he says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. We need the shedding of blood. But as also the copies of the heavenly things needed to be purified with sacrifices, the heavenly things themselves need to be purified by greater sacrifices, a greater sacrifice, not only cleansing the outside, but also the inside. And so that's what we're thinking about as we get up to our text today. How does that cleansing happen? What does it do for us? How does Jesus do that for us? So our text is Hebrews 9, 24 to 28. I'll invite you to stand as we read that this morning, as you are able. Hebrews 9, 24 to 28, reading in Jesus' name. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word to us. Thank you for, even though it's a much different context when it was originally written, we know that you are speaking to us as well. And so we ask that you would guide us in knowing how you are speaking to us, how to apply this to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to ask the kids to come up again over to this side again. This worked last week, so we're going to try and see if this works again. Are you going to do it for me this week, Zeke? Or are you just coming up to help? Or is Theo going to? All right. All right, so the kids, as you come up, if whoever wants to come up, I would encourage you to come to over this section. Sometimes you're over there, but if there's not enough room here, let's have a seat in front. Boaz, you coming up? All right, you can sit on the seats or in front. It's just going to be easier to see from this area right here. So I'm not going to have you. Oh, actually, could you sit back just a little bit, though, so the people behind could also see? I'm not going to have you help me this week like I did last week, but what I want you to do, and Zeke, you could probably come over this way so you can see this. I want to show you some of the things that we have. So this is the tabernacle that we made last week, right? And here in front, we have some new things. So the artisans have been at work. The craftsmen have been at work. Actually, one craftsman. That was Jason. He 3D printed these things for us. So thankful to him for that. But we have an altar right here. And that was where sacrifices were made. So animals were killed and sacrifice burnt on that altar. Here's a place for the priest to wash their hands and their feet as they came up. And then I'm going to uncover this and show you some things that are inside now the tabernacle. So make sure and stay back. I'll actually bring them over to you so you can get a look. We'll talk about these a little bit next week. There's a lampstand. There's a table there. I want to show you this here. It actually was probably about the size of this baptismal here. But take a look at that. That's an altar of incense. Okay? So that would be a place where the priest would bring some of the ashes. I want you to just look. Just look. Okay? All right. That's pretty shiny, isn't it? Okay, the priest would bring that up and bring some of the ashes. Okay, there's one more thing that I want to show you. Look at where this is. Do you guys see where this is? It's back in this room here. This is the Holy of Holies. All right, sit back a little bit, guys. I know you're eager to see. I will bring it by here. Take a look at that. Here, we gotta bring that up there. You get a good, kind of a good view of that. All right, so this, oh, no, I'm not going to have you touch this. Yeah, I'll bring it by. I have something in it. This is the Ark of the Covenant. What's in it? Oh, that's a good question. What is in it? You know, I do have some things in it here. There are a few things in here. Yeah. Here's what we've got. Let me hold them up for you. What does that look like?
Rock.
A rock. There are two of them in here. There are two of them in here. Do you see?
Yeah.
These are stone tablets. Did you know we had stone tablets out in front of the door here? Oops. Yeah, we had stone tablets. I got them. You might find some others later. Maybe not. Maybe I shouldn't give you that idea. Anyway. We have stone tablets. These had the Ten Commandments written on them, and they were in here. There were two other things that were in here. One of them was, what does that look like?
Bread.
Like bread, right? That's a cracker, actually. And you know what it represents? Oh, I'm not going to have anybody touch them. That represents the manna that the people ate in the wilderness. And one last thing that was in here, you know what that is? What does that look like? Oh, it does kind of look like a paintbrush, doesn't it? But you know what it is? Look closely. Do you see what it is? It comes off of a tree. It's a little branch, a little twig. It represents, there's a bud on the end of it, isn't it? It represents Aaron's staff that budded to show that he was the real high priest. And they put that in there, and that was how they worshiped God. But here's the thing. They had to keep coming. Here, why don't you guys have a seat one more time? Have a seat, and I'll tell just one or two more things here. Every day there were sacrifices going on. Here, come back over here and have a seat, guys. Every day there were sacrifices going on. And the priest, every year, had to come up and come in once a year into this room to offer a sacrifice for sin. All right? It had to keep happening. How many times did Jesus die, do you know?
One.
One time. Just one time. And that's what we're thinking about today, okay? Is that he just died one time. All right, I have some papers here that you guys can have. I forgot to bring them over with me right away. Here we go. Let's see. Here, you could pass some out. You want to pass some out? And let's see. Could you pass those out? All right, you can end call. There we go. All right, thanks for coming up, guys. Yep, you can go. There we go. All right, thanks for coming up, everyone. Here, go back. Go back to your seats. We could take a look another time, okay? All right, thank you. All right. Very, very tempting to want to look at all of that, right? Touch. Well, we're thinking about here the repeated nature of the sacrifices that they had to do at the tabernacle and later at the temple. And as we think about that, now we don't have the same context, right? We are not making regular sacrifices at a tabernacle or a temple or anything like that. So what is this? How is this speaking to us? How does this speak to us? Last week, as I mentioned, we pointed out the eternal redemption nature of what Jesus did for us. So it's a permanent fix for the problems. Broken bones, totally healed, like new. Not with the marks of having been healed, but totally new, right? Things, relationships being healed, perfectly healed, like new. We see that in eternity, or we will experience that. But last week we noted that the author of Hebrews said, these are the good things that are already here. So even though we see it fully in eternity, we even experience some of that now. And that's really part of today's subject. And we might ask the question, and what might help us know how this speaks to us is thinking about the fact that this was a regular sacrifice. And we might ask, why was there this reason for what was the reason for a regular sacrifice at the tabernacle? Well, some of the sacrifices that happened there were things that were for kind of flagrant sins, things that were obvious, things that happened in the community. If somebody did something that was clearly wrong, and if it was something that was outwardly visible, it might need a specific sacrifice. So that person would bring a sacrifice to the tabernacle, and that sacrifice would be offered on the altar, and then the ashes would be brought up to that altar of incense, and it would cleanse that person of that sin. So there was forgiveness from that sin. Annually, there was the Day of Atonement, and that was just acknowledging the regular brokenness, the regular rebellion of the people. Even in the aspects of life where you wouldn't notice that you did anything wrong, it was acknowledging that we're still broken people and there's still broken relationships. And so there's still a need to cover those things. And that's what that did. Once a year, that sacrifice was made, and the high priest brought that sacrifice, blood from that, all the way in to the Ark of the Covenant and put some of the blood on there. And God said through that, reconciliation was made with him and sins were forgiven. Well, there's still a sense that we live in a broken world, right? That part of this has not changed. We still suffer. We still do things that need reconciliation. We still think of ourselves more than we think of our neighbors and selfishly take for ourselves. And sometimes it's in very little ways that aren't noticeable, but they're still there. Even if we try our best, we still do these things. And sometimes we can get frustrated. When we think about it, sometimes we don't think about it, but when we think about it, maybe you've had this experience. You do the same thing that you've done again. Maybe it's responding in anger when that's not really the right way to respond, and you get mad at a family member, a spouse, whoever it might be, and you respond in anger and you say, why did I do that again? Why did I do that again? I know that's not the way that I want to respond. Why did I do that? Maybe sometimes we do things and we get a feeling that we need to make this up somehow. Maybe even, you know, we might even think, is he going to do something to me? Maybe not answer a prayer the way I want because I've been doing things that are wrong. We might have that thought go through our head. We recognize that we need real reconciliation and forgiveness, and maybe we do have it through Christ, but as we think about this and as we contemplate, why do we continue to do these things? Maybe we have this thought that we can't make it up. Maybe we just think, if I can't change, can I really be forgiven? We might think, is God punishing me for something? Something bad happens, and we may think, is he punishing me for not behaving better? The tabernacle response to this was the regular sacrifice. The Israelites certainly had these questions as well. And the answer that God gave them was the sacrifice at the tabernacle, and they would come and they would have reconciliation with one another and with God, and that would take care of it. But the author of Hebrews is telling us Jesus is better. The answer Jesus gives us is better than that answer. And he says, Jesus did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands that was a copy of the true one, the true tabernacle, the true sanctuary. Now, we have here, you know, this, we have a copy of a copy and a miniature one at that. So I have a feeling this isn't going to do much for us at all, right? This little tabernacle model that we have. No, Jesus did not enter something man-made. He entered heaven itself, the greater sanctuary. And it's not to imagine that there's some kind of, necessarily, some kind of tabernacle structure in heaven. It's more to say that heaven itself is what the tabernacle represents on earth, a place for God's presence, which is heaven. He's there. So as Jesus enters heaven, he gives a greater sacrifice himself, as he is a greater priest. As he goes in, as he offers the sacrifice for us in heaven. Not again and again. So again, we get to this repeated nature. That repeated nature of the sacrifice is removed. And he didn't do it through blood not his own. He offered his own blood as a sacrifice. Otherwise, the author says, he would have had to go in many times, starting at the creation of the world. Every time somebody sinned, if Jesus' blood was not better than that sacrifice at the tabernacle, every time someone sins, he would have had to have been sacrificed, all the way starting at the beginning of the world. But, he says, one time at the culmination of the ages, and there's kind of a changing from Jesus' death and resurrection and return to heaven, from then on, we're in the end times. That's the culmination of the ages. That's what we're in right now, all the way from that time till Jesus returns. This is the end times. At the culmination of the ages, Jesus did this once for all to do away with sin by sacrificing himself, and this is a done deal. It's done. And the flow of the argument here from the author is that if this was not a done deal, then there was nothing that really could have taken care of it. It would have had to happen again, all the way from the beginning of time and continue all the way through till the end of time. There would be no end to it. Last week we saw evidence that Jesus needed to be God, even though it's not stated in those words. We do know that he is God, and Scripture makes that clear. The fact that he needed to be God to take our sins away is simply given by evidence here. And we saw that by the eternal nature of his Spirit, the eternal sacrifice that he gives. Today, we see that again. The evidence that the one who needed to, our Savior, the one who would die for us, needed to be God. He is the only one that could do that. And today, we see that evidence in the permanent nature of the sacrifice. No one else who is simply human could take our place. Even a perfect human could not take our place in that way. Yet it would have to be God. And this is a done deal, because He is God. The further argument here, as we continue in our text, is this: that people die once. And as we think about that, we could say that's a done deal. Once death happens, you're not coming back from it. It's a done deal. Not a very good one. It's a bad deal, if you ask me. I think you'll probably be in agreement that death is a bad deal. But it's done when it happens, right? Christ's death also is a done deal. He died once. There's no more death for Him. And He rose again. And that is a done deal. Resurrection, after death, one time, judgment, and then eternal life for those who are trusting in Christ. It's a done deal. There's nothing else to be worried about. All of our sins are covered. Now we can go back to, how is this an encouragement for us? What does this look like as an encouragement for us today? Now, we don't have a tabernacle. And you might say in that sense then, because that tabernacle was a regular reminder to people of their sin, the need for that regular sacrifice, especially the annual sacrifice on the Day of Atonement, that would be for sins you don't even recognize you did. And so the fact that they needed to do that reminded people of their sin. We don't have that. We don't have that regular reminder of sin. Or do we? Do we have a regular reminder of sin? I think we do, right? When we or others mess up around us, it's pretty easy to see that we need reconciliation. We still live in this broken world. We still live in a world where there are spiritual battles, there are verbal battles, there are actual battles that are happening in our world that tell us this world is broken, and we see it in our own lives. And if we look back in our own lives, I'm sure all of us, maybe, I'm certain that we can't think of everything we've done wrong, because we can't even think of that through each and every day, right? If you get to the end of the day and you try to think of everything you've done wrong, yeah, you probably won't think about it. But if you think back on your life, you can probably easily think of some even bigger things that you've done that you would say, that was bad. That was bad. And there might be things that you still regret. I wish I had never done that. I can't go back and change it. I know God forgives me, but I wish I hadn't done it. These things are covered by Christ's blood. We look forward. We look ahead in our lives. And I think, as we've noted, we can expect that we will again and again not follow perfectly God's law. Even if we want to, even if we try our hardest, we won't do it. We know that, looking ahead. The good news here is that whether looking at past things that we've done wrong or future things that we will do wrong, Christ's sacrifice is enough. It's enough. We have that promise. Our family recently watched the movie Wreck-It Ralph. I don't know if you've seen that one. It's a cartoon. It's the characters in it are video game characters who come to life when they're not needed. You know, when the arcade is closed, they come to life. And the central focus of this is on this character, Wreck-It Ralph, who is actually the bad guy in a video game where he wrecks things. And the hero in the video game is Fix-It Felix. And he fixes the things. And he's got this golden hammer that he just hits things and they fix. And it doesn't matter what it is. And at one point in the movie, he and another character are stuck. And she gets mad at him and punches him. And there's some Laffy Taffy that's laughing, and that kind of helps him out. Anyway, to get the Laffy Taffy to laugh more, they kind of find this funny. He says, well, keep hitting me. And she doesn't want to, but he says, keep doing it. And it doesn't matter how many times, he just hits himself in the head with this golden hammer and it fixes it, right? So she punches him and he's got a black eye, and, you know, he hits his head with the hammer and, you know, he's good again. She punches him, knocks out a tooth, and, you know, he hits a golden hammer, fixes it again. You know, so this is, in fact, at one point he finds he's trapped in a dungeon and there's a loose bar on the window and he goes, hey, I'm going to escape. And he hits it with his hammer and it makes the bars doubly thick and secure. And he goes, well, that didn't work because his hammer is too good at fixing things. It fixes everything. Everything in the past and future in our life, Jesus' blood covers it, like that hammer. Now, of course, I'm not saying that sin doesn't matter, that we can do whatever we want and it doesn't matter. It is still the stench of death when we do things that are wrong, against God's law, against other people. But if we ever start to despair, or ever start to doubt, or are ever troubled by our sin, and we recognize that it's wrong, that it is the stench of death in us, God's answer is clear, that the sacrifice of Jesus is a done deal. And that has been paid for, and that has been fixed. And the end of our text has further encouragement for us. And that is this, as we look forward to the very end of time, when Jesus returns again, he says, he will appear a second time, not to bear sin. He's not coming again to pay anything regarding sins again. There's no sacrifice, remember? No more sacrifices needed. He's not coming to do anything like that, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting. That's what he does when he comes back. There's no more payment for sin that we need to do. When Jesus comes back, we're not going to have to do anything to pay for any sins. He's not going to pay for any sins. That's a done deal. He just simply will come back to save us and bring us to heaven. Wonderful, isn't it? In Revelation, in the book of Revelation, as the end is pictured, the books are opened and people will be judged by what is written in the books. But the reality is the only book that really matters is the Lamb's Book of Life. One book that contains the names of those who are saved. Is your name there? Is it written in the Lamb's Book of Life? If you are trusting in Christ for salvation, your name is there. And if your name is there, it's a done deal. You have his salvation. And you're simply invited to trust that that is true. Neither Jesus nor we have any kind of continual sacrifice for sin. God is not keeping account in some way where we need to, these things need to be paid still in some way. That's taken care of. That's a done deal. We come to him in repentance and he forgives. Christ has died once, entering the heavenly tabernacle, having given his blood for us, having risen again with the promise of new life for us in eternity. And that begins even now, and it is a done deal. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the finished nature of the sacrifice that Jesus has given for us, that it happened once. He died once. He rose again one time. He ascended into heaven, and he will come back again, and he will save us, bring us to heaven with him if we are trusting, if our name is in that book. Thank you for that. I ask that as we find times where we may doubt or question, where we acknowledge that we have done wrong, that we would simply come to you and trust. We do ask that you would change our lives. Help us to be better. And when we aren't, help us to trust that you forgive. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.